Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Okay, g'day everyone. It's Steve here, and just wanted to say welcome to what is our first ever NFL Fantasy Primer podcast. It's just going to be me today. The other boys really aren't big NFL fans. They will be doing a cricket podcast later in the year when the Big Bash is starting up. So if you're a Big Bash fan or a cricket fan and you want to get involved in that sort of fantasy, they'll be talking about that later. But today we're talking NFL. NFL training camps are starting to kick off. The season's getting close. I love playing NFL fantasy. I think it covers the time between the AFL finishing and starting up pretty nicely, although the season finishes in January, so starts to, you know, really when we're ramping up our draft preparation, it's just great timing. But it isn't just me today. We're very fortunate to have a very special guest all the way from America. Well, not really all the way. We Skyped it. But Mike Wright, the fantasy hitman from the award-winning Fantasy Footballers podcast, is joining me. We have a great chat. So if you're looking to start getting involved with fantasy football, NFL for the first time, great chat. If you're an experienced player, the first little part of the conversation might not be super interesting for you, but there is some very relevant stuff later on. We talk a little bit of strategy and some players that I kind of like, and Mike gives his opinion on those players. So just kicking off, we will be doing a listener league for the NFL. So yeah, we will be doing a listener league. You can hit us up on the email if you want to be a part of it, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Hit us up on the Facebook or the Twitter. Try to cut it off at a 12-man, but if we get enough interest, we'll go to a 14-man, but that's where it'll end. If you're interested, you know, I'd say try to get your league involved if there's enough people. You certainly get involved with fun that way. Or if you can't convince them or get in the listener league, the Fantasy Footballers have a great thing, and if you're a sponsor of the show, which only costs you like $5 or something, I've been signed up for a couple of years. They have a forum for Foot Clan Leagues, which is members, and you can get involved with any sort of league, with any sort of people all over the world. It's a very competitive league, certainly a lot better than playing in one of the just rando leagues where only about four people show up to the draft, no one waivers, and you win the league in a canter. We all know those leagues aren't the most fun and most satisfying. So, you know, I'm in a Foot Clan league myself. There's a bunch of guys from Australia. There's guys from England. There's guys from Scandinavia. We have a Facebook page set up. We talk a lot of smack. We give each other crap. But it's fun. It's all in good nature. And then everyone's a serious player. There's certainly a lot more fun than playing a bunch of randos who just, you know, don't even care about their team. So that'd be my advice if you can't get your league mates to do it, but there's certainly ways around it, and you might be able to hit other people up via the Draft Doctors and find some people that way. But just kicking off, the season is about to start. The preseason games start in early August. The September 7 is when the official season launch is. I think it's 8th here, though, because of the you know, we're living in the future, as Mike will tell you. So it is coming up. I like to do my draft as late as possible. So probably the end of August is right around when we'll be doing, or I'll be in most of my drafts. You know, NFL, the players tend to get injured quite a lot. And as Mike and myself found out in our chat, basically all of them were suspended as well at some point. It was quite funny how that all sort of came up. But when you're doing the NFL fantasy and your research, you generally play a few, you know, your team construct is sort of generally you'll have one quarterback, maybe two in a two quarterback league. They're not as popular, but they are a thing. A couple of running backs, a couple of wide receivers, maybe three, a tight end. We all like a good tight end, don't we? A flex position, which is generally either a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end. Generally, you want to be playing a running back, a wide receiver, though. A defense, which is sort of like the last position you'd take in your draft, very almost irrelevant, and a kicker. Although a lot of leagues are moving away from kickers because they're not hit, not really predictable, and they really only score a few points, although the thing is some of them have big games and it can win an otherwise unwinnable matchup. So you might be in favor of kickers, you might not be. It's fantasy football, it's up to you. But the funny thing is, we know a lot of the big famous quarterbacks, but and they score a lot of the points, the highest scoring player. But because there's 32 teams and your fantasy league only has, let's say, 10 or 12 teams in it, there's always a big surplus. Mike and I talk about this a little bit. But the streaming of the quarterback is very easy to do. So because even though they score the most fantasy points, they're not the most relevant. Running backs and wide receivers are the priority positions, though. So generally in the first two rounds, that's mostly what you'll see. So if you do start up with a league with your mates, that's a little way to get an edge. But why don't we kick it off with our chat with Mike? Certainly love hearing his thoughts. We had a great chat. Really can't thank him enough. The show is absolutely fantastic. I would recommend everyone to go check out the Fantasy Footballers podcast. It is a fantastic resource and a hell of a lot of fun. If you enjoy watching things on YouTube instead of just listening to podcasts, the show is recorded every, I think in the season, it's every day in fantastic quality. So certainly check him out. And the Foot Clan leagues are brilliant as well. So that's a great way to find great competitive players. A couple of other resources I like, just quickly, is the Late Round QB podcast. That's a very good stats-driven podcast. The Pat Murray podcast, which is a lot of fun, and using Roto Experts in conjunction with that. Get some great articles from Jake Seeley. That's good as well. And the Living the Stream podcast is very fun as well. And they all sort of specialize a little bit. Fantasy football's does everything. It's just brilliant. So let's get into that conversation with Mike.
So very happy to welcome the Draft Doctors. Very happy to welcome to the show. I don't want to go too fanboy here, but if it wasn't for this man's podcast, we probably wouldn't exist. He knows all about a great tight end when he sees one. I'm talking about Mike, the fantasy hitman, right, of the award-winning Fantasy Footballers podcast. How you doing today, Mike?
I don't think I've ever been introduced like that. So I appreciate it. I respect the game, and really that's an honoring and very humbling thing to hear that you talk about. We at least had a part in inspiring you to get out there and start podcasting. That's I've heard it a couple times, and each time it's a dumbfounding and very humbling event. And I'm grateful for this opportunity I have, but I'm also grateful that I'm inspiring people to get out there and do it. And people ask, well, how do I start podcasting? And here's the top tip. Do it. that's all it is you got to get out there, do it, make it happen, go talk about sports, have a good time.
Yes, absolutely. Sort of how we went about doing. I think that's one of the great things about the Fantasy Footballers podcast is that we've seen you grow massively. I remember when it was just you and Andy, and, you know, now you're across so many platforms, but you're still very connected to your fans.
Yeah, we do our best. And did you listen back when it was just me and Andy?
Yeah, and you had it was like a between two ferns kind of set on the YouTube.
I mean, we were bad. We were so bad.
Well, it was very relatable.
Well, I'm glad you stuck with us because we're a lot better now. But thank you so much.
Okay, so but also, you know, on top of the podcast, that's your main platform, I guess. You've got the website with some great articles, the YouTube with the show after the show. So I'm thankful for finding the time. But we are here to talk about some NFL fantasy. And but the first thing, we are an Aussie Rules podcast. What do you actually know about the Australian rules football?
We were talking before we started recording. I've been to a few games actually. My dad had a work opportunity when I was pretty young, and we went down and I took in a Bombers v Magpies matchup, and it was I fell in love with the game. My dad fell in love with the game. He's actually followed it ever since, and I've taken in his kind of adopted team is the Crows. And it's just it's a magnificent game, and I really admire what these guys do. And I was telling you before the show, like, I really wish that this game could catch on over here. We have actually a local team in Arizona that they play. They play Aussie Rules, and I looked into it, and I was like, man, that'll be so much fun. And luckily for my my ACLs and my hamstrings, they're like an hour and a half drive for me just to get there to practice. So I never actually made the commitment to go play. I wanted to, but I didn't. But it's a fantastic game, and I envy that you guys get to watch it on a regular basis.
I was certainly lucky, and your dad will be pretty happy because the Crows are flying on this year.
But, I'm sure he knows. Trust me, I'm sure he knows.
All right, so some of our listeners might be interested in setting up a league. We know some of our listeners are big NFL fans, and we can talk a little bit of strategy later. But if some of these guys are setting up, they play their draft league here, how would they go about setting up a regular NFL fantasy league?
Like, as in from the ground up, how are you going to start it?
Yeah, just there's you know, the guys have got their 10 guys. What would you consider, like, by positions, just a standard sort of format?
Okay, so the standard format. So an NFL fantasy league has generally 12 teams is kind of the most common over here, but if you can only get 10, if you can only get 8, we talk about on our show, if you only can have 8, you want committed players, because nothing is worse than a 12-team league and all of a sudden 3 guys quit. It affects the league. Someone gets into the playoffs. They shouldn't, because the other team has completely quit. So if you have 8 very active owners, then play with 8, and you can modify the rules to kind of shore up your starting roster, because the where it gets difficult with 8 teams is everyone's lineup is monstrous. You have all the superstars. Everyone's starting a superstar in every single position. So it's not as fun. The game is not as deep. But so let's say you have 10 guys. Essentially, the rules are you're going to start one quarterback, and you're going to get a 1 point for every 25 passing yards. You can choose either, and this is quarterback specific, the quarter, because a touchdown is worth 6 points. That's usually what you get in fantasy football, but sometimes people only give the quarterback 4 points per passing touchdown because they score more. It, I guess, was the theory behind it when it started. We always play everyone. If you score a touchdown, you get 6 points. So your running back, you get a point for every 10 yards. Same with a wide receiver. Same with a tight end. So essentially, you know, a yard is worth 0.1 points. And there's things that change up the scoring format, like PPR, we call it. So a point per reception. So if a receiver catches a ball, running back catches a ball, he just automatically gets a point. Some people play in that. But, I mean, that's really the basics. There's a kicker and defense, which we can dive into that if you really want. But those are pretty expendable positions that I think we just play with them because that's how people have always done it. And we haven't evolved the game to say we just shouldn't have kickers in fantasy football, I guess, because some people still like it.
Yeah, I certainly know a lot of leagues are moving away from kickers. So you talk about the PPR leagues, and I guess that would be the most fundamental game variation, would you say, in terms of scoring?
Yes, I would.
How would that affect the way someone approached their draft?
So that gives wide receivers a huge bump, as well as passing down running backs. Imagine a guy who he's not scoring touchdowns, he's not getting the big plays, but for example, if Julian Edelman is notoriously known as a PPR stud, where he really excels in that scoring format, because the way that the Patriots play football and utilize Julian Edelman in the passing game, he frequently just he gets these 8 to 10 yard receptions. And by the end of the game, you know, he finishes with 65 yards. Not to discredit Edelman, he can have big games. He's an excellent football player. But very often he'll end with a stat line of, you know, 70 yards, but he'll have 8 receptions. And that, instead of just getting 7 points for the yardage, he gets 8 extra points because he caught the ball 8 times. So it skews things towards scoring. It benefits greatly the wide receiver. And the way I understand it is that scoring format came about over here because you go back 15 years, even 10 years, the running back was so dominant when it came to fantasy football. If you didn't have a superstar running back, you lost. That was the name of the game. There were several years where running backs like Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson, they were the first overall pick, and if you got them, you almost guaranteed yourself to get into the playoffs. And so they said, well, let's bump up the scoring for wide receivers. But what people didn't anticipate was that the NFL was going to make several rule changes to make passing easier, make the game more friendly to passing, because the NFL, they do a lot of things wrong. Don't get me wrong. They do a lot of things wrong. But what they often get right is they listen to their fans. They go complete fan service of, they recognize that the game is more exciting for television. It's a more consumable product if big plays are happening, if really exciting things in the passing game are happening. So they've changed rules and made it wide receiver friendly, which then kind of blew up PPR scoring. It made it really overpowered. So that's why a lot of leagues like ours, we've scaled it back to half point PPR, where it lets receivers get a little bit of a bump. It also gives passing down running backs a little bit of a bump because they don't see the playing time that a starting running back will get. You get four downs. You know, well, I guess technically you punt or you make a first down and fourth down, but there are a lot of running backs that they only play on third down. That's their specialty. And to widen the playing field and get these players involved in fantasy football, you got to give them a little bit of bump in scoring. And that's where we have settled the fantasy footballers. We believe in the half point PPR. We think PPR is too extreme. Standard is too old school. So we go half point PPR and feel like that's a really, really good medium.
Yes, that's something to consider when you're setting up your league, what league's format you want to play in, and also your draft strategy. Now, down in Australia, the casual fan will know your Tom Brady, your Aaron Rodgers, your Cam Newton. We're big sports fans down here, so we know, everyone will know these guys. And the big names are invariably the quarterbacks. They get all the hype.
Sure. They're Hollywood.
Exactly. You know, they're up there winning the Super Bowl MVP basically every year. How important is the quarterback position in fantasy football?
So that's the funny thing about fantasy football. And I don't know if you, in Australia you guys would disagree with this, but we have a saying, you know, up here where we're actually – I'm in the past. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. That you're living in the future right now. So I'm very grateful that we're going to make it through another night. But that the quarterback – is the most important position in all of sports. And what we mean by that is if your team has a bad quarterback, your team is bad. And that's a really heavy burden to rely on one player. But the fact is they touch the ball every single time. It's an extremely difficult position to play. You have to not only be athletic, but you have to have a very, very strong understanding of the game. Your brain has to recognize and fire within split seconds, or because if you get things wrong, you get hit by a man who weighs 300 pounds and has 2% body fat. I mean, when you make a mistake, you pay literally with your body. You pay with blood. So what's funny about, having said all that, the way that fantasy football works now and what I talked about where the NFL has changed rules to make things much easier to pass. Now, low-level quarterbacks still put up huge fantasy points, and now they're not going to – if I say the name Brian Hoyer, I don't know if people listening to the podcast know who that is, but he's going to be the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. You don't know who he is. He's a nobody because he's not Hollywood. He's not a superstar like Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to put up enough points – in for fantasy football that you don't have to worry about having one of these elite quarterbacks because you only have to play one. That's the magical thing about the quarterback. There's only one in fantasy football, generally speaking. Meanwhile, you have to play at least two running backs, at least two wide receivers in most leagues, and quite often you're playing three of those positions. So it creates this supply demand. I mean, it's a simple economics argument, but it's funny that you start getting into that economics argument versus sports. But when you really start to understand how the game within the game works, because that's what we're playing a really stupid game, but it's amazing at the same time. And when you start boiling down the numbers, the statistics of it, the quarterback is not actually that important. Wow. In real life, it's the most important thing for a football team.
It's the great parallels of fantasy sports, I guess. And
yes.
You know, if people, I recommend everyone, if you're listening to this and you want to win your league, certainly please go to the website or listen to the podcast and you'll hear more in depth about how to draft your quarterback late. Like in our AFL leagues, we draft our rucks late. That's just a simple thing.
And just to add on to that, frequently there are players in the NFL. I don't know how much Tebow mania swept through Australia, but we had this quarterback, Tim Tebow, who was, to his credit, he won a lot in college. I'm talking a lot. He was exactly what his team needed to be. He ended up being a first-round pick, which was kind of like the death note for him of expectations. People needed him to be great. He was awful. He was simply terrible for real-life NFL, but he was fantastic when it came to fantasy football because I mentioned that quarterbacks get 25 or get 1 point for every 25 yards passing. There's a caveat. They get a full point for 10 yards if they run the ball like a running back or a wide receiver, and Tim Tebow ran the ball so much. So imagine a quarterback has to throw for 100 yards and they get 4 points for that. Meanwhile, Tim Tebow can rush for 40 yards and get those same 4 points. So it flipped fantasy on its head where there's often times where there's players who are simply bad and not good for their actual NFL teams, but they score a lot of fantasy points. So there's this it fantasy is certainly not a reality when it comes to actual NFL football.
Well, I guess I'll just touch on something that was not a reality. There was a man in the NFL. His name was Jared Hayne.
Right. Yeah. He was a sensation.
Oh, well, down here he was, and he sold a lot of jerseys, I'll put it that way.
Well, my Twitter mentions definitely heard from you guys talking about him, and they just wanting him to succeed. And you got to stay in your lane. Sorry, guys. But you send us some tremendous punters and kickers. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals had a guy. His name is escaping me right now, but he was an AFL player. I've seen several AFL players become kickers in the league.
That'd be Ben Graham.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, we love him.
Was he a sensation as well? The punter?
He got talked up a lot, believe it or not. any Australian does anything over in America, it is big news here. Trust me.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, so we're going to sort of move away from the basic things. So we're going to start throwing out some names. So if you don't know these players, if you get into the NFL, you will certainly catch on very quickly. But there's one thing, unfortunately, that NFL players seem pretty good at doing, and that is running afoul of the law, Mike.
Yes.
And right now we're in the middle of the Ezekiel Elliott trials. Now for the people out there, Ezekiel Elliott is basically a consensus top three pick in your draft, superstar running back for the Dallas Cowboys, and we don't know what's going to happen. So, and also, you know, you got guys like Martavis Bryant, superstar wide receiver. He's on his last strike before he gets suspended or kicked out of the league or whatever. How do you deal with drafting these risky players, I guess you'd call it?
Man, it is a very difficult road to navigate. And when I got into the occupation of talking about football and talking about fantasy football, I did not factor in once that I was going to have to be talking about like the psychology of a 22-year-old millionaire and what they're going to do in the off season and can this guy make strong decisions? Because Ezekiel Elliott rules the airwaves these days. Because you're right, he is a consensus top three pick. Everyone wants Ezekiel Elliott on their fantasy team. Except he's been making some really bad choices. This actually all stems from an event. It might have came up right before the draft. It was around draft season that there was these domestic violence allegations, and they kind of disappeared. Which if you're new to the NFL. Domestic abuse has become a very, very hot button for the league, as it should. The league, like I said, remember when I said the league does a lot of things wrong? I don't know if you guys remember a player by the name of Ray Rice, but he found himself in a really bad situation, and he got caught on tape hitting his fiance. The NFL messed up the suspension. But anyway, so that has led us to where we are now today, where there is a spotlight on that. And so he's being investigated for that. Then he's doing all kinds of other stuff. It came out that he's getting a speeding ticket where he's going, and this is miles per hour, so I can't convert this to kilometers. I don't have that ability. But he was going 30 miles an hour over the speed limit, which is a lot. That's way too fast. He was an idiot and exposed a woman during Mardi Gras. Allegedly they're together and they're just having fun. I don't know, but he's making all these decisions that nobody should be making these decisions. Number two, he's got cameras on him at all times. So he's dealing with that. And now we have to deal with the possible suspensions. Meanwhile, now we'll cut over to what I have to do. People are asking me every day, what do I do with Elliott? Like I'm the gatekeeper to his suspension. They're asking me, I'm the one who's handing down the sentence. I'm like, guys, I can only give you with the news of having been around this stuff and my own filter of sifting through the weeds, sifting through what beat reporters are saying. So I'll say this. I don't feel good about Elliott at all. I think he's going to get a big suspension. Meanwhile, the other guy you talked about, Martavis Bryant, I think that Martavis had a legitimate mental health problem. I think he had really bad anxiety and was struggling with depression, which that's a real thing. This guy was seeking help and he was doing it the wrong way. But by all accounts, He has taken the correct steps. He got reinstated by the NFL, and I think that Martavis is ready to go. So it's a lot of reading tea leaves to try and figure out to navigate these kinds of off-season issues.
I guess.
I felt like I was going on and on about that. No, so I apologize if I'm boring people.
No, see, look, I know where you're coming from because that's sort of what we do as well. So. Sometimes you just don't have the answer.
Does that happen often with AFL players? Something like this?
No. Not with the frequency. I'll put it that way.
Do they have the celebrity where essentially whenever if they go out in public, everyone's pulling out the iPhone. You have the tabloid newspapers following them. Does that happen, or can they kind of go out to a bar, have a good time? And not worry about every single thing they do being under the microscope.
Some players it will. Some players will get away with it, like your lesser lights. But it depends where you go, I guess. It just hasn't come. I mean, we've had players on the front page of the newspaper doing lines. It has happened.
What kind of money does a top AFL player make?
Probably. Well, the salary cap's going up, so probably looking about $1.2 million.
Okay, so
a little bit different.
Yeah, so the contracts are a lot larger over here in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, would you recommend to people to? I know Darren McFadden's going pretty late in drafts. Would he be someone you target late in your drafts? Oh. It's Ezekiel Elliott's backup.
Yeah, we have different kinds of games here, where we've been talking about a season long league. We also have a format called Best Ball, where you can draft right now. These things open up for degenerates right after the Super Bowl. We start drafting our fantasy teams for the following year because we all have a massive, massive problem. But essentially what it is, you draft a huge team, much, much larger than you normally would, and then the computer fills in your starting lineup with the best possible scenario. All my best ball leagues, I've been grabbing Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the suspension is coming, and his where people are drafting him right now, that's about to skyrocket. And they've said that the news won't come out this weekend, so I'm guessing it's going to be early next week. As soon as that hits, Darren McFadden's going to, in my opinion, what I think is coming for Ezekiel Elliott, Darren McFadden's going to shoot up to probably the sixth round.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing actually just leading on from that's a good point, is we don't have mock draft sites in Australia as of yet. But in America, I mock draft on Fantasy Draft Wizard all the time. You can do it on the main sites, ESPN and Yahoo and so forth. But with that comes really tight ADP numbers. So for me, I find it gets a little bit tricky to manage how you draft with value. I mean, how far would you reach to get the player you wanted, especially in the middle round where it's a little bit hit and miss? Like, let's say Martavis Bryant, for example, is going in the sixth round, just for argument's sake. Would you grab him in the fifth, or would you wait to the start of the sixth if you had a pick there?
The way that I feel about Martavis and what he can do with his ability, I would absolutely grab him in the fifth. This might be a situation where I grab him in the back of the fourth. So it's an individual scenario for every single player of how strongly do you believe in that player. And for NFL fantasy football, once you start getting out of the top five, top six rounds, you don't want to, obviously, if in ADP there's a guy who's a sleeper going in the 11th round, don't grab him in the sixth round, but go ahead and grab him in the eighth, because the difference between a sixth round pick and a 10th round pick is actually their success rate is very close. Once you get out of those top rounds where you're drafting the guaranteed superstars and the high level players, it really becomes a crapshoot. So I always advise people that try and get value, know the average draft position of players, so you can continue to take that value from the draft, but draft who you want. Like, go get your guys. I think that's a very important thing of fantasy football, where if you play in a draft, you're going to be restricted to a certain pool of players. Certainly, where, like, let's say I'm in the back of the first, I know that David Johnson's not going to be on my team. That's just how the game works. But so once you get out of those top five, top six rounds, go out and get your guys. I mean, believe in your evaluation. And I always tell people, despite being, my job, I'm a fantasy football analyst, so I'm trying to give people advice. It's far better to win with the guy that you want than to lose with the player that everyone tells you you should take. That is awful. That feeling is awful. Despite being, a professional analyst for fantasy football, I'm going to get things wrong more than I get them right. That's just the nature of the beast. We can only work off of an educated probability, and just look at the shape of the football when it hits the ground. I mean, you don't know where it's going to go. It's impossible to gauge. So the game is crazy. So many moving pieces. There's 11 players on each side, and some idiot being the 11th player can screw things up for your number one guy. You can't account for certain things. So make sure you go out, get your guys. Never be afraid to reach if that's what you have to do to get your player.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that answer, because we always sort of follow the same blueprint. One thing I'll say is NFL fantasy seems to be particularly reactionary. Like if someone had a bad
season, they're bad.
Now, one thing I really wanted to talk about was last year I had the number 4 pick going into my main draft. Is this a Todd Gurley question? No. Last year, pick four. No one wanted pick 4 because there was 3 top wide receivers, and it seemed like everyone was going zero RB. Well, this year it's completely flipped.
Yes.
And everyone's going running back. Is there a way? Is there a correct strategy? Is it just following the draft? Is it following the patterns of the way things go? What do you believe? Because I just couldn't believe the whole zero RB thing. I grabbed David Johnson and.
Oh, you were a wise man.
You know where that went.
Oh, I absolutely do. Love David Johnson. And the answer to that question is we always tell people be water in your draft because you oftentimes we field a ton of questions. People are like, I'm drafting at the 108. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 2 running backs and then I'm going to take a wide receiver and then a running back and a running back. You're like, you can't draft like that. You can't. It's nice to go into a draft and say, well, I'm going to grab this player. But what you cannot account for is humans. And humans do really strange things when the draft hits. And in front of you go, oh, holy crap, I didn't expect that pick to happen. And then another one right after that. And you're like, wow, this player is going to drop to me. I did not expect that. And guess what? Your entire draft strategy just blew up because you were trying to go in with this really strict, static plan. You have to be flexible and take what the draft gives you. And the way I draft, and I guess I'll say this, zero RB, that might be probably too high level of a strategy to talk about with the stuff we're talking about.
Sure.
But it works. I don't have a problem with it if you are in the correct format. And that correct format is you start 3 wide receivers, you start a flex, and it is a PPR league. That means everything I talked about where the wide receivers get a bump up, so you just overload yourself with high-level wide receivers and you draft backup running backs and essentially wait out the injuries. Because the running back position gets injured more than any other position on the offense. And that's proven by data. We know that the running backs are going to get hurt more than a wide receiver. So I don't have a problem with that plan in the right scenario. But other than that, my approach has always been balanced. I try not to overreact to what has happened. And, you know, I'm balanced. By the end of the draft, I'll have a pretty even split, but I will always have more running backs than I do wide receivers because you need those lottery tickets. You need those late-round running backs who it seems like they're not going to start, but then somehow they steal a starting job away in training camp or the guy in front of them gets hurt, which is a nod to what the zero RB drafters are. That's what they're looking to do. So I guess I believe in a lot of what the zero RB guys are doing is in keeping backups on your bench, but not your own. So I don't know if you want to get – do you want to talk handcuffs at all?
Do you want to do it quickly? We're sort of
– Sure.
Yeah.
So the concept of handcuffing is essentially – let's say I have for the example we talked about, the man who's in trouble. I draft Ezekiel Elliott. If I want to handcuff, so to speak, that means I'm going to draft the presumed backup in Darren McFadden so that if something happens to my starting running back, I know, that's in air quotes, I know that I'm going to have a player I can plug in and he's going to get starting running back touches and hopefully my points don't go down drastically. That's essentially the strategy.
You have the role filled no matter who it is.
Exactly. You're not searching your bench going, oh, crap, this guy touches the ball 5 times a game as a running back. I have nobody. So that's why it's like if you play blackjack and the dealer pulls an ace and you want to buy that insurance, I liken it to that.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. All right, so one of the things that the fantasy footballers put out each year, and it's probably the most comprehensive thing of its kind, is the Ultimate Draft Kit. If you want to deep dive on players and get into strategy and have risk ratings, the Ultimate Draft Kit is the way to go. I want to talk about a few players here, Mike, but why don't you just quickly tell us about the Ultimate Draft Kit, because I think if you're serious about winning your league with your mates, it's almost a must-have.
Sure. We often talk about on the Fantasy Footballers that the draft is – that's where you build your foundation for success throughout the year. And I'm not kidding when I say we start building this thing – essentially when the Super Bowl is – once the Super Bowl confetti blows and there's a winner named and an NFL or a Super Bowl MVP called, we start the Ultimate Draft Kit. We start researching. We start diving very deep on and we give projections for players. And I'm talking we're giving you flat-out numbers. So I'll give you – so like David Johnson. I have David Johnson projected for 290 carries – 1,150 yards on the ground, 12 touchdowns, 3 fumbles, 70 receptions, around 800 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. We do that with every notable player. I mean, this is a lot of work, and it's not just that. Then we give you, of course, sleepers, breakouts, busts, values. We give you over 100 video profiles. So if you think, hey, what do the fantasy footballers think about Eddie Lacy? You have a quick snapshot. You have a nice 2-minute video where we all give a take on that particular player. We've teamed up with Matt Harmon from NFL.com, so we have an actual NFL.com writer giving us his methodology, which he's a kind of a guru when it comes to wide receivers. And we're always trying to make this thing better. We are always adding to it. We're always updating it over the off season. It used to be magazines. And magazines are great. I love having a magazine. They're nice to read. You know, they look great, but they get outdated. They're already outdated by the time it prints. The Ultimate Draft Kit will never be outdated across the entire offseason. It is the number one tool to help you get ready for a fantasy football draft.
Yeah. So when Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended or doesn't, that'll update.
Yeah, that'll update very quickly.
All right.
We all have our finger just sitting over the mouse button waiting.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to talk about some players. We'll start with some guys I'm a little bit cold on, Mike. I'm a big Colts fan. And
okay.
My favorite player is T.Y. Hilton. But I'm scared as hell of drafting T.Y. Hilton this year. Seems it's a very high price. This is the highest draft position he's had going into the season. There's more receivers there with Kamar Akins in there. Dante Moncrief is healthy at this point in time, touch wood.
At this point.
All right. I think the number 3 wideout's probably Chester Rogers. He's starting to develop. Jack Doyle got paid. And Andrew Luck's shoulder, man. I'm real worried about that. All right. So I'm just a little bit concerned about, especially the deep ball, which is where sort of T.Y. makes a lot of his hay. Doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. I know he's high. What are your thoughts on T.Y. Hilton?
I like T.Y. Hilton as a player. I love him for fantasy football. And what I think is nice about T.Y. is, yes, you're drafting him very high this season. And what we would call – you're drafting him at his ceiling. So last year, that was his best year for fantasy football. And the pick you are – spending to get him on your team, you're saying, I expect this to happen again, if not better. And so you are there is no value built into his average draft position at all. And that your concerns are absolutely well founded. Last year in a PPR, Hilton was scoring 5 more points a game when Dante Moncrief was not there. So you saw him benefit greatly from all the games that Moncrief missed, and that's up to you. Make your decision on Dante Moncrief. Do you think that he's an injury-prone player? Is he going to be on the field? I think that Moncrief will be back, and I think that Moncrief is a good wide receiver. So there's certain things that you have to factor in when you're going to grab Hilton, but what I do believe about T.Y. is he won't let you down, because I'm not concerned about Andrew Luck's shoulder yet. Now, if we get the third week of August and we've not seen him throw a pass, I'm going to start getting a little bit freaked out. But Andrew Luck, his brain is still there. His brain is still fully intact. He'll just have to shake off a little bit of rust as he starts throwing again. But I still believe that by the time the season rolls around, he's going to be good to go, which means T.Y. Hilton will be good to go. So he won't let you down. He may not produce like he did last year, but when you're spending those high picks, you desperately don't want a guy to bust and be terrible for your team. So I think that's what's nice about Hilton, is he will not be terrible. He's going to get you 1,000 yards. It's just the question of, is he going to get you 4 touchdowns, or is he going to get you 7 or 8, which doesn't sound like a huge difference, but for fantasy football, it's a really big difference.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit scared, but anyway. Another guy.
I totally get it, man. I get it.
Yeah. And if he has a great season, then I'm good for the Colts. Another guy I'm scared of is Lamar Miller. He just doesn't seem to be able to – when he went to Houston, he doesn't seem to be able to handle the big workload they gave him. I think the division's a little bit stronger against the run. They drafted Donta Foreman in the 3rd round. It's a high pick. I know he's had some issues at the last
pick. Yeah.
I know, another one. But I just don't know that he can finish as a top 10 running back. His ADP is around 25. There's some other guys I like in that range. How do you feel about Lamar?
I still believe in Lamar Miller. And I mean, the guy you brought up, Donta Foreman, who was drafted very highly. He got himself into some legal trouble. He got allegedly, what happened was he was arrested for possession, illegal possession of a firearm. But it sounds like all that stuff is kind of sorting itself out, and that he's going to be cleared of all charges. But you have to add that into earlier, he showed up to the OTAs, which is kind of like a mini training camp where the team gets together, starts working on stuff. He showed up to that out of shape. So, I mean, it's just another strike against Foreman. Meanwhile, Lamar Miller, I think, made the best out of his situation. His quarterback last year, Brock Osweiler, was an absolute dumpster fire of a quarterback. And Lamar Miller still was getting huge volume, wasn't giving you like these, you know, the big sexy games like Jay Ajayi, who's rattling off 200 plus yards 3 times last year. He didn't give you that, but he was always consistent. But what was missing was touchdowns. And it honestly is, it's one of those things where you have to, this is where you factor in the statistics of it. And you look at, statistically speaking, him scoring only 5 rushing touchdowns doesn't make sense. So you have to project that that's going to go up. At least that's how I look at Lamar Miller. And he didn't play a full season. He still finished with over 1,000 yards, almost 1,100 yards. And his actual projected season, if you gave him his average for the rest of the year, he was over 1,200 yards. I mean, he's still a solid pick. I believe in the talent of Lamar Miller. I'm desperately hoping that either Tom Savage or Deshaun Watson, they're going to be better quarterbacks than what Brock Osweiler built in. And I'm not actually worried about, let's say Foreman comes in and starts taking some carries away from Lamar Miller. We've seen him in his time, Lamar Miller, in Miami, where when he's fresh, he gives you huge plays. So I'm actually okay with his carries coming down, because I think that his efficiency will go up. So I'm still okay with Lamar Miller, and I still believe in him as a running back for fantasy.
Okay, so he's a pretty nice, safe pick, maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great. And you talked about how we're very reactionary in fantasy football. Essentially, a guy is bad last year, he's bad forever. That's how you find value in the draft right there. Lamar Miller last year was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, so you don't have to pay the first-round pick, and he's a running back who you know he's the main guy, where it's in the NFL to get a running back where you know he's going to at least touch the ball 15 times a game. There's not a lot of those running backs left in the NFL, and people are letting Lamar Miller fall in the draft despite that fact.
Well, there you go. So I might have to change my thoughts. Another and the last guy I'm cold on, probably the most vanilla pick of all time, that's Greg Olsen. And it's just the price. In the middle of the fifth round, he's, you know, old. They brought in another pass catcher in Christian McCaffrey. And just I like getting my tight ends late. Talk me around on Greg Olsen, or am I on the button?
I don't blame you necessarily for not wanting to pay up for Greg Olsen, because if you look at his end of season numbers, they're very good. 80 receptions, almost 1,100 yards. What was really unfortunate was the 3 touchdowns. I mean, that absolutely kills you for fantasy football. But Greg Olsen is still at the top of his position at the tight end. We talked about a little bit about how you only play one quarterback, so it skews things that you don't have to have an elite option. The same thing can be said for the tight end. You generally only play one. Generally, they're all bad. There's really just a couple who are good. So it doesn't. It's kind of a position that you don't have to focus your attention on in the draft. But Greg Olsen, he's the first tight end ever to have 3 straight 1,000 receiving yards. 3 touchdowns is low for what he can do. Cam Newton, his quarterback, had by far his worst passing year of his career. Greg Olsen had scored 7 touchdowns the previous year, 6 the previous year. And if you look through his historical data, he's a 5-6 touchdown guy. Not a huge touchdown, but he should give you 6. And I still believe that he's the top passing option in that offense. I love Christian McCaffrey, but he's a running back. He won't be the first passing option. Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin is.
I know what you're going to say. I love this says it all.
Kelvin Benjamin, look, he's a fine player, but he's not a number one wide receiver. He should not be on a team. He should not be their number one wide receiver, and that's why Greg Olsen's throwing up 1,000 yards every single season. So I don't love the draft pick, but I'll say this: it's a safe pick. If you want to grab a tight end in the draft that you can put him into your lineup every single week and know that he's going to give you some points, he's going to have some big weeks, and you don't have to worry about looking through the waiver wire and trying to play the matchups, which that's the strategy I go with, but it takes a lot more paying attention to the league and the trends and everything. If you just want a safe pick, you want to plug him in, play him, then Greg Olsen's still a fine pick.
Well, I'm a Colts fan. You know, I'm all about that Jack Doyle life this year.
Oh, Doyle rules.
That's it, man. All right, how about some guys I'm hot on? And we spoke about him before, and that's Martavis Bryant, man. I'm all about it. You can get him around the same time as you're getting Greg Olsen, and he's on a high-powered offense with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm all about it.
You're speaking my language now. Martavis Bryant is my dude. I believe in him. We call him a good friend of the show because he jumped on a phone call for 5 minutes with us. So I believe in him. If you've watched him play, I mean, the dude caught a touchdown with his butt doing a front flip. He's an absolutely otherworldly talent. When you look at his athletic measurables, they're absolutely off the chart for his size. I mean, they call him, his nickname is the alien, and that's for a good reason, because he's doing things that a human being should not be able to do. He's 6'4". He can run a 40-yard dash, which, do you happen to know how many meters that is? I don't know.
It's just under 40 meters. Yards and meters are very similar.
Very, very close. So he's running that in 4.4 seconds. He's 6'4". I mean, that's – which man, we have a huge divide here with our stupid American system of measurement, so I apologize for that. I don't know how tall he is in
people know 6'4".
Okay, great. But like he's unbelievably athletic. He had some personal demons. I think he took care of them. And you can look at the Steelers with Martavis Bryant 2 years ago. They were a touchdown a game better. I mean, that's the big that's how large of an impact he makes. I think that when he plays, Ben Roethlisberger, his quarterback, is a 5,000-yard quarterback because Martavis Bryant is such a dominant force. And on top of everything, he gets to play next to the best wide receiver in football. So defenses cannot say, okay, we're going to shut down Martavis Bryant, because if you spend the two defenders it takes to shut down Martavis Bryant, the best wide receiver in football is going to have a massive game. Like, there are too many weapons to guard on the Steelers, and the talent is great. I love Martavis as a huge bounce back candidate this year. So I'm with you that if I'm in that fifth round, he's nearly a lock for me to draft.
All right, I like that. All right, I got a couple more guys, and then we'll let you get out of here. I know you're still living in the past.
But, I got to go to sleep, man.
Yeah, that's it. Doug Martin.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, no.
His ADP's 80. Okay, now we're talking about another suspended. Man, we're bringing up a lot of suspended players, but suspended for the first three games. They've Tampa Bay. They've signed another wideout, DeSean Jackson. Should open up the box. We saw the change in style of play. They can't stack the box against the run. We know he's talented. We know he's had good seasons. We also know he's had some bad seasons. But I think this late in drafts to get a potential starting running back, I think it's a freebie.
Yes. If you had Andy, if you had picked Andy for the show, this is where his face would be glowing, and he would be all about the pick of Doug Martin. I don't believe in Doug Martin. He's the starting running back, but he's suspended for three games. And so to put that into context for people, let's say you're just getting into the game. Usually you have five or six bench players that you can hold on to, and you can make the choice. Do you want to play them in your starting lineup or not? 3 weeks is nearly 25% of the fantasy football season. And he's just going to be sitting there on your bench. You can't play him. You can't drop him. You're not going to be able to trade him and return the value that you invested on him in the draft. I cannot get behind Doug Martin when Jacquizz Rodgers is a running back who's been on several teams. They grabbed him off the street. Jacquizz Rodgers did not have a team. And when Doug Martin went out, they said, okay, Jacquizz Rodgers, we're going to let you be the starting running back. And he was better. Not just slightly better. I'm talking a lot better, a lot more efficient than Doug Martin. So I just have great concerns for a player who has to sit on your bench. Now, let's say that Doug Martin falls to that eighth round, that ninth round. I'm okay taking the risk at that point, but I can tell you from experience from last year, Tom Brady, arguably the best quarterback in the league. I would argue with you, because I would say Aaron Rodgers is, but if you want to argue with me, that's fine. Tom Brady, whatever, top two quarterback in the league. He was suspended four games for silliness. I don't know how much play Deflategate got over there, but it was.
It got enough.
It was just, we all wanted it to go away, but it was absolutely the worst. Either way, regardless. So Tom Brady is suspended for four games, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. In one of my leagues, I drafted him late because he was falling because of the suspension. I think I got him in the ninth round, which Tom Brady is a guy who usually goes in the fourth, if not earlier, in fantasy football leagues. It was utterly painful to have that wasted bench spot that I couldn't do anything about it. And like players who broke out, I couldn't drop people because I had Tom Brady who was not expendable, but I couldn't play him. So it just it creates a very strong disadvantage strategically for your team to carry a player who's suspended. And on top of that, I don't think he's very good. So, yeah. So we disagree, but I get it. I mean, I have to argue with Andy all the time about Doug Martin being a good player or not.
No, I understand. You know, at the start of the season, we see different people come out of different roles, and you lose that ability on the waiver wire. So certainly understand that. Maybe the last guy's more to your taste, Mike. I don't want to leave you on a sour note.
I appreciate that. Don't let me down.
No, I'm going to talk another late round running back, and that's Danny Woodhead.
Oh yeah, you did it.
We're
best friends again.
There we go. All right, so he's gone to the Baltimore Ravens this year. They throw a lot. They check down to the running backs a lot. Tight end situations all over the shop. The wide receivers need to be respected, I think, in Baltimore, which should create some space, I think, for Danny Woodhead. And, you know, he's pretty handy around the goal line as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's nice about Danny Woodhead, so we've been talking, you know, PPR, half point PPR, the scoring differences. Danny Woodhead's primary role, despite being a running back, he catches the ball. He's a tremendous wide receiver, which if you don't understand the game of football, when the running back is a dangerous weapon in the passing game, it creates all kinds of problems for the defense. They don't know how to account for that. And so it's a very positive thing for a team. And he's one of the best pass catching running backs in the game. What's unfortunate for him is he's quite a bit older, especially for the position he plays. He's coming off an ACL tear. He's transitioning to a new team. But like you said, the Baltimore Ravens the past 2 years have been one of the most pass heavy teams in the league. I don't expect that trend to quite continue because their offensive coordinator for this year, he's more of a balanced run heavy guy. But still, Danny Woodhead, his role is secure. Meanwhile, Terrence West will be the starting running back who will play on, say, first and second down, the majority of them. The other guy who's in who's up for that role is Kenneth Dixon. He's suspended for 4 games. But we can't stop getting players suspended over here. It's an absolute travesty. I know these guys. I mean, really, come on. But so you know that at least for the first 4 games, it's Terrence West and Danny Woodhead. And like I said, Danny Woodhead's role is secure. Joe Flacco, the quarterback, is already showering Danny Woodhead in praises. He's been good everywhere he goes in the league. He would play for the Patriots. He played for the Chargers. He was great. You're talking running back one. Great, which makes no sense. I understand that. But a guy who is often overlooked, he's overlooked by NFL teams, he's overlooked by fantasy teams, but he always has fantasy value, and you always get him late in drafts. So I'm with you. Danny Woodhead is a great target once you're getting into those later rounds.
It's good to hear. Fills me with a lot of confidence. So just all the listeners, I can't say thank you enough to the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright, coming on the show, spreading his knowledge, spreading the game. And I certainly encourage everyone to check out the Fantasy Footballers. I just think it's a great listen, to be honest, as well. Just,
oh, I appreciate that, man. We do put a lot of emphasis. I mean, our material is, I mean, always very, very well researched. We want people to win above all else. But, you know, close second to that is you don't want to be bored while you're trying to get this information. We're all about having a good time. We're three friends just talking football, and we invite people to join us on the magical journey that is fantasy football. So I really appreciate you having me on, and I love it that this game is spreading internationally. I feel like it just improves my job security, which is I love. That's my number one priority. Let's be honest.
That's fair enough, man. Yeah, like I said again, thanks so much to Mark.
So there you have it, our interview with the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. You can find him on Twitter at the FF Ballers. Oh, sorry, that's That's the Fantasy Footballer's Twitter handle. You can find him on Twitter at FFHitman. So a pretty sweet Twitter handle. Although I'm not sure. These guys seem a bit violent. You got the Hitman there. I know the other host, Andy, is called the Fantasy Reaper. So maybe, I don't know, maybe don't meet them in person or something like that. But I certainly hope everyone got something out of that. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Like I said, we will be opening up a listener league so we can have some fun over the NFL season playing that, and you can lay a smackdown on me for not drafting T.Y. Hilton, my own favorite player, and I don't want to take him. Although Mike gave me a little bit more confidence, and hopefully Andrew Luck shoulder is fine and the Colts go on a merry dance and win the Super Bowl, as unlikely as that may seem. So, hope everyone got something out of it, and we'll do our regular, back to our regular football fantasy finals coming up soon. So very exciting stuff there. And hit us up. See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.